Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started, and we're going to be looking at the book of Ruth this morning. More specifically, the questions concerning chapter 2. We'll review and study chapter 3 and hopefully look at questions there and possibly 4. We have many visitors this morning. We're glad you're here, and hope you join with us in the study. We have questions on chapter 1 and 2 on one page, and chapter 3 and 4 on the other. 1 and 2 first. Anyone needing questions on chapter 1 and 2, all on one page? And then chapter 3 and 4, Brother Greg will have those. Chapter 3 and 4. One and two back in the back. Okay, then I need some feedback from you all. He had laid these up here. This is the family tree according to Matthew 1. Is that needing to be passed out, or has that already been passed out? Nobody knows. Nobody has one? Okay. All right, as soon as these gentlemen get finished with that, we'll pass these out then. This is going from Abraham through Jesus, and of course the middle portion, which we're concerned with this morning. Yes. Yes. We do. I'm certain of it. Again, we're excited that you've made the decision to be with us this morning in this study, in this grand study. It's a pleasant study. It's a wholesome study. It's a study of godliness, and one that we, I think, need more of and need to pay more attention to. We've, again, reviewed chapter 1 and chapter 2. We're going to give these gentlemen a few more minutes, and we're going to go to God in prayer. But afterwards, if there's not any discussion that needs to be had on chapter 2, we'll pretty much immediately look at the questions on chapter 2. I think you understand pretty much the story that is here for us and why it is here and the importance of it. But it's just a beautiful setting to look at, a beautiful conversation to review and indulge in, and really see the things that God wants us to see from it, as much as the genealogy that they're passing out now. Last call on genealogy and questions. If you're not open to the book of Ruth, you can go ahead and be doing that. Ruth, chapter 3. That's where we'll begin our study this morning. I'd ask you to join me in prayer at this time. Our wise God, our merciful Father, our holy God, God of creation, our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day and for the many blessings that you give to us, blessings that we can't even count, we can't even begin to count, Father. Help us to make an effort to acknowledge every one, Father. and especially the spiritual blessings. And the spiritual blessings that we'll examine this morning, Father, in our study. Father, we're thankful for Naomi and Ruth and Boaz and the example they give to us. We're thankful for your word, that we can look to it for the truths that we need to walk each day. Help us to look intently, Father. Help us to make application. Help us to be willing to make a resolve to live our lives in such a way that you would be well pleased. It would give you glory and honor. Help us to be godly people and honorable people. Be with us in our study this morning. Father, we're thankful for so many who've come this way this morning, for our visitors. Bless them with safe travel. Give them good strength and health. As with our members presently, Father, we ask that you be with them, those who are struggling at this time with difficulties physically. Ask that you would cure every ill as only you can, and be with those who have had surgery and those who will have surgeries. Ask that you make their recovery speedy. Heavenly Father, be with us this hour as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. As promised, there's a page that has questions, chapter 1 and chapter 2, and we'll begin with chapter 2, and I need some help as to who might have had the last one. Donna Miner had the last one, so we'll begin, whoever would like to take the next one. Okay. And number two?
What service did Ruth ask Naomi to allow her to perform? When can head the pregnant after the Boaz?
Okay. And then number three, did we go back over here? Is that the way? Okay. All the way back over, Aaron.
Mm-hmm. In what village did Boaz live? It was in Bethlehem.
I think you're right. Number four.
What was Boaz greeting to the men in his field? The Lord be with you.
All right. And number five.
What was the reply of the man in the field? He was a young boy about one. He came back from the mountain and left animal from the country of Moab.
Okay. And the Lord bless you. And so an exchange of blessings there, maybe even a prayerful blessing, that the Lord be with you and bless you. What a great exchange and a good example for us. All right, number six.
Where did Ruth walk to glean in the last field?
All right. And number seven. Okay. So he knew the entire story and what it encompassed. All right, number eight.
How does Ruth respond to these kind words? You've come to me and spoken kindly of me, though I am not one of your maidservants.
Okay. Number nine. All right. Good answer. Number 10.
What instructions did Boaz give his young man to make sure some of the produce was where she could be saved?
Okay. Which wasn't commonly done, but Boaz here again knows the story and feels that this is what needs to be done. All right, number 11. About what? Okay. All right. And I found that to be 0.65 of a bushel. So, whatever that works out to. Maybe 20, 30, 40 pounds of grain. Whatever she could carry, I'm sure. All right, number, did everybody get the same thing on that? Did I confuse anybody? All right, number 12. So blessed be the Lord that this has been done. I counted up this morning, and this is just my count, so it may not be accurate, but it's relatively close. But in the four chapters of the book of Ruth, just the word Lord or God or reference to Him is mentioned 21 times. And the reason I say that is because that in the last five chapters of the book of Judges, I dare say it was mentioned that many times, and I didn't go back and count because I knew it was more than that from our study that we had had. So just a beautiful story and a beautiful discussion that we can have among believers. You don't have to turn there, but I wanted us to listen just a moment and see if we could pick out some of these things as we study chapter 3. It comes from the book of Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So the only reason I read that is because of the fact that I think you're going to find that we're going to see much, much more of that than we did in the latter part of the book of Judges. And then one other thing I wanted to read to get our study started this morning for food for thought, maybe, comes from the book of Proverbs. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of your hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." And so, as we continue our study, I'm very much convinced that you're going to see just a beautiful, poetic story that needs to be told and retold again. All right, so, having said that, let's read the first five verses there. I'm reading from the New King James Version. "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our kinsman? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourselves and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies. And you should go in, uncover his feet, and lie down. And he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, 'All that you say to me, I will do.'" And so the story opens in chapter 3, again, quite poetically. In verse 1, she seeks security for her. She seeks rest for her. She seeks a I suppose, a position or a place, a state of being. And in doing so, in this first verse, we find that as Naomi seeks security for Ruth, she in essence is seeking that for us as well. We are the benefactors of that, beneficiaries. And so we benefit from this very first verse where Naomi seeks rest or security, as some versions say. My version said that, actually. I think the other versions say rest for the young maiden, or I shouldn't say maiden, actually, since she was married before, or the young girl. She was well acquainted with the rules of engagement, or the law of Moses. And God is revealing His plan through these women. And not only is the security for Ruth, but it's going to happen to be victory over Satan is also what is being secured. So from Genesis 3:15 until now, we can see, or at this point, we can see that victory is starting to transpire. Ruth, coming out of a pagan culture, foreign gods would have been worshipped in her land, in the Moab. And so she had to rely on Naomi very much. She had to rely on her for good instructions, good counsel. And so Naomi is teaching her and telling her exactly what to do. And so in verse 2, she reviews the circumstances with a question. And whose young women you were with, is he not our kinsman? So as she does this, she is also able to reveal what is what needs to happen, what is going to happen, and in the fashion that it's going to happen. I don't know of many readings that I've read where the instruction and the directions are carried out so well. You might say to the T. We find in Ruth a loyal servant. She was a virtuous woman, as we read in Proverbs, I believe. And so she takes these specific instructions to heart. She pays attention. She's a good listener. And she's willing to do whatever it is that Naomi sees fit that she does. And little by little, through this instruction, through this kind teaching, she is coming to know the law of the Lord through Naomi. All right, two verses down. Verse 3, specific instruction as to what and how things were to be done. We've said that, but again, verse 3 reiterates that. And then the offer is made in a language of gestures. So, you know, Ruth didn't necessarily go and make the proposal and that sort of thing, send a letter, any number of things that she could have done differently, but Naomi says, this is the way it needs to be done. And so Ruth would not have had much experience with this type of gesturing, but she was just so willing to please, to serve Naomi. You know as well as I do that she loved her very much, and it was a mutual love between the two. An uncommon love for a mother-in-law to take in the daughter of another mother and treat her in the fashion that she treated Ruth. Most of the time when we hear those situations presently, it's a broken home. It's a situation that's really, you know, not good. And it's sometimes referred to as a dysfunctional family. But we see that this family was made very functional, where a mother-in-law stepped in and made way for the right thing to be done, laid out the right path. And Ruth is eager to do what this woman tells her to. The obedience and trusting nature of Ruth, the Moabite, is unprecedented. She is a kind woman. She was programmed to be obedient, or she programmed herself to be obedient. To be obedient and honest in all that she did. She was a good daughter-in-law. And Naomi was a good mother-in-law in return. As we've said, they loved each other. There's nothing more fulfilling than to see this picture unravel. The obedience of a child and faithful servant, and the good instruction or wise counsel of a mother. Too often we seek the wrong counsel. And if a person, especially a young person, comes out of a situation where things haven't been good, they haven't had good instruction at home, and then they leave that situation for whatever reason, and they tend to seek the wrong counsel. They listen to what someone on the street has to say more than they do someone who is wise. And so this certainly is an encouraging story to tell us to seek the wise counsel. All right, any questions or comments? First five verses. Keith? Ruth? Or?
Yeah, Ruth. Asking Boaz out on a
date. I think she's asking him to marry her.
And,
yeah.
And social protocol will not allow, I'm just assuming that social protocol will not allow her to do that. She had to do it in such a way as to appear modest and virtuous without stepping outside the bounds of social protocol and everything. So I just wonder, and of course I realize this is all in the providence of God.
Exactly.
And so, I realize this is all in the providence of God.
Mm-hmm.
But if she hadn't taken the first step, I would have, if he would have.
Yeah. Well,
of course, you can't really predict the future unless, God tells you.
Yeah.
So this, this is the sake of conversation.
Yeah, we have the advantage on this story, for sure.
I just wonder if he would realize what he had, if Ruth had to make the first step.
Yeah, he was taking care of her, and maybe not in the type of relationship that you and I would see as a couple going out on a date, but he was protective of her. And I think I see Boaz as an older gentleman, and so it's almost like a father-daughter relationship. And I think to some extent he did have to be talked into this, just thank God for Naomi that she knew the language,
right.
And she knew exactly. Okay.
He also knew that he wasn't the nearest answer.
Right.
So to go by the law, he was the one.
Mm-hmm.
The nearest answer.
Right. So he had that in the back of his mind, thinking, okay, what am I going to do now?
Well, that's what I was thinking. But honestly, you got to be able to think of
the for the land.
Whatever the marriage situation, that's the way it was played in the nearest kingdom. In order to carry over the language of the family, the nearest kingdom was to take the will, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Of that. That's the
Mm-hmm. Brother Greg?
I think it's helpful to note the last verse of chapter 2 talks about how Ruth was doing this, the gleaning in with the harvesters throughout the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. So there's a considerable amount of time that has transpired since they first arrived back. And so Naomi is, I guess you could say, been waiting for this.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to do. But Naomi does take that initiative to kind of get the ball rolling. But there's been a significant amount of time gone by, so she's not necessarily rushing or being too forward.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think so. I think so from chapter 2. He definitely noticed her. Question or comments, Father? You know, I think it's vital that we look at the players that we have here. Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. And the role that they played and how they played it. They did it to the T. Everybody did exactly what they were supposed to do. And I mean, it's just amazing how, you know, certainly Naomi orchestrated it, but we know that the Lord was behind it. And Naomi must have wanted Ruth to be with Boaz, to be with a man who had such rapport with his workers that they greet each other, you know, may the Lord bless you today. Yes, may the Lord bless you today. And I had a professor in a leadership class, and he would always say, lead in such a way that they will willingly follow. Lead in such a way that they will willingly follow. And I think this is the type of man Boaz was. And you just can't take anything away from any of their prudence, any of their honesty, their integrity, their resolve, their commitment. It's all there. That's the reason I read the fruits of the spirits from Galatians 5. It's all there. The humility that is shown by all of them, Ruth especially, but really from all of them. They just wanted to do what was right. And it's just a beautiful story. And there's no way around it. So, anyway, good comments, and I hope I didn't take away from any of them. All right, we'll pick up in verse 6. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled, and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, who are you? So she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a near kinsman. And so, again, Ruth, she did exactly what she was supposed to do. And the hour had come for this arrangement. this process to be started. Ruth, I guess, makes the proposal, and Boaz understands what's going on. I think he feels well and good from the satisfactory meal. I just said that because maybe sometimes we want to insert things in there that possibly shouldn't be in there, but because simply the way it sounds, I do not believe that he was in a drunken state. I believe that he'd worked all day and he'd been on the threshing floor, and he had eaten a meal and he had drank whatever he had to drink, and he was feeling that feeling we get sometimes about 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, it's time to take a nap. So I just wanted to mention that. And then in verse 8, he's startled and dazed, as you and I would be, laying there sawing some logs, and wakes up, and one version says he almost like he leaned forward, like he was maybe laying on his back, and he leaned forward, and this person or woman is at his feet. And so obviously he wants to know who she is, what she's doing there. So startled, he recovers and immediately knows the right questions to ask. And Ruth is pure-minded in all of this and reveals her humble spirit to Boaz. A time for information to be gathered, for exchanges to be made. What will we do from here, and how do we proceed? And all this, again, being orchestrated by God, but Naomi knew the language that needed to be spoken that night. And Ruth did it accurately. All right, question or comments further? Yeah, they were. So it was an important thing to be married, obviously. It is an important thing to have a family. In this day and time, it would have been important for you to have a spouse and to have children and so forth and so on. And Naomi knew this. And so, you notice when she comes back to Bethlehem, she wants to change her name to mean bitter. And because the Lord had dealt with her bitterly. But I think we see a change in maybe Naomi here, and things is starting to lift a little bit, her sorrowfulness, state of sorrowfulness that she's in. Sometimes there are words that get the best of my tongue, and I have no excuse for that. All right, further question or comments? All right, let's look to verse 10, if you would. Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am your near kinsman. However, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a near kinsman for you, good. Let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you. As the Lord lives, lie down until morning." And so, there's a devotion to principles there in verse 10, and a devotion that can be seen in both Ruth and Boaz as well. The impact and influence of a virtuous woman can't be overemphasized. It's very very pleasant to see a virtuous woman and their work that they do through their influence. And it's something that congregations need. It's something that families need. It's something that this country needs. And I think it's just a beautiful statement that here we have a woman who is humble, and she's very virtuous. She's industrious. She's a worker. She's all the things that you would want to have as a spouse. I think Boaz sees this, but look at Boaz, the position he's in. And so he has to say, well, now there's somebody else involved here, and we've got to let him have consideration on this as well. And if he chooses to do this thing, then okay, I'm out of the picture. You know, he accepts that. There's no grumbling or griping or complaining. It's simply a matter of doing the right thing, and all of them are willing to do it. Verse 12, Boaz knows exactly what has to be done and how to go about doing it. And he resembles Naomi, I think. Naomi knew exactly what needed to be done and how to go about doing it. And so it was being done. And in 13, Boaz is more concerned with the things being done right rather than what is good for him. He could have been very selfish here. And he could have taken advantage of this young girl. And no one would have ever known. You ever hear that? No one will ever know. But he knew that God would know. He was a man of integrity. And a man of integrity will do what is right when no one is looking. Always. So we must aspire to be, as Boaz, a man of integrity. Then in 14, we'll pick up the reading there. So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Also he said, "Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. So when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." So things had to be taken care of. And again, Ruth is seeking wise counsel when she's even talking to Boaz. We know from the reading that Boaz is a man of wisdom. And he gives her wise counsel, tells her exactly what needs to be done. And he also considers, of course, her mother-in-law, because there are grain in a sufficient amount that could be carried on her shoulder back to her mother-in-law. And he must have had pretty high regard for Naomi as well. In 16, Naomi asked the question, "How have you fared?" And Naomi knew her plan to give Ruth rest was coming to pass. So going back to verse 1, this all was put into motion because of a plan that Naomi had, and that was to give her security, give her rest, and that was being done. Then in verse 17, the amount of grain is a substantial expression of the respect Boaz had for Ruth and for Naomi and for the proceedings that were put into motion by Naomi. "Be at ease" was an expression of assurance and confidence that the matter would be resolved with success. And so when we think of humility, we think of a hard worker, we think of a good listener, a kind-hearted person, it's pretty easy to respect someone like that. And so in this. Again, we have a beautiful story that unfolds, and we know that the reason for the book is so that we have a genealogy that gives us our Savior. But it's just such a beautiful story that is orchestrated by God first, and then the mother-in-law. All right, question or comments concerning that? Brother Greg?
Just the comments from earlier when we talked about how the Book of Ruth is like that breath of fresh air that's written in the outline after all the problems with judges. And the theme of judges is about where men were doing what was right in their own eyes, in their own sight, in contrast to that, as you've already pointed out, the desire by all the people involved to do what was right, but it was right according to the Lord and His will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these things that they were focused on, and that the kindness and love of God was being lived through their lives.
Yes. Yep. And it's a polar opposite, a manic depressant, you might say, that's over here at one time ravaging, killing, raping, so forth and so on. And then over here, love, kindness, gentleness, humility. And this is the side that, of course, we want to be on. Warren?
Mark said, I came, Mark said, sit still. It speaks to Naomi saying, you've done what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't worry about it.
Right.
God's will. Go out and try to do anything more than you've done everything you can do, and don't worry about it.
Right. So her instructions were over. I mean, she'd followed her instructions just like she needed to. And so that's a good stopping point there. To sit still and wait. Everything will come together the way it needs to. Any other question or comments? Yes.
I like the way all of the people seem to have the value of honoring the widow. They didn't know anything about this foreign woman, but they based her reputation on the fact that she helped Naomi. It's the same in the church today.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I think you're right. To honor the widow. And in this case, she'd been gone for 10 years and came back. And so there was that willingness there to honor. Brother Steve? Yeah.
This is going to harm my estate if I do this.
Right.
I take this on because just necessarily taking your mom's life, you might not cause that, but here's all this property that becomes part of their responsibility and duty to manage for someone else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
I mean, if we're not looking at something correctly, if there's something we don't understand, because, you know, God is, everything's going like it should. And if we come up with some other conclusion, then we need to sit back and start looking.
Yeah. The application that can be made from this story is just, you know, never ending. You could apply it to business, good business relationship, your family, of course, to a broken family, how to respond and react and so forth and so on. So four chapters, you could learn a lot from reviewing it several times. Okay, we've got about 2 minutes, and we've got 10 questions. So we'd want to attempt that. We got somewhere over here. Adrian? Okay, number two. All right. And then number three.
What did Ruth ask for was to set the skirt over the handmaiden part, our kids.
Okay. And number four.
If Boaz stole Ruth from the first born, now he blessed her for the way she carried the baby.
Okay, very good. Number five, we're down the front, Julie. Okay, and then number six. April, did you want that? Number six.
What if Bill was not bringing Ruth immediately? She would have forced her to live with him.
Okay, and there was a near kinsman in verse 12. And then number seven.
And what did Boaz put grain for Ruth from hope?
Okay, and number eight. Okay, and number nine. All right, and number 10. James, or Harless. All right, Brother Bill, you got number 10.
Oh, I couldn't find it, I suppose.
All right, how long did Ruth work in Boaz's fields until the end of barley and wheat harvest, according to verse 23 of chapter 2, is what I went back to. If somebody, is that what? Okay. All right. Thank you for your attention, and we'll have our break at this time.